Between them, pure alcohol coiled from the turned-back lid. The air curled with its distortion. Vaporous, the face stretched longer and thinner than the pillar it began. The shimmer of the vat worried his expression, tortured his eyebrows in the heat, further emphasizing a figure already overdrawn. Too wild, too skinny, too tall. As she stood on tiptoe to lean over the wooden tub, on the other side the tall man saw only the dark tremble of a girl's unruly hair. He wondered at letting children tour a distillery. Then, why shouldn't they be confirmed early? Sip at the chalice. Bush Mills was the real Church of Ireland after all. Later, he would catch sight of her down the walk toward bottling and not recognize the grown woman in black leather bouncing the red motorcycle helmet against her thigh. Though she was barely over 5 feet, at any distance her slight proportions created the optical illusion that she was not small, rather farther away. The man did not need to clutch the rim, but leaned at the waist to inhale. When the girl looked up, he saw she was not 10 or 12, but at least 20. Their glances met. Both took a deep breath. The man reared back again, snapping upright. The woman went flat on her feet. Tears rose and noses began to run. The fumes went straight to the centre. Acupuncture. The staves of the cavernous room warped cosily around them. The man could no longer remember what had so concerned him moments ago. For the first time in months, he felt his face relax. Across the tub, she watched the lines lift from him and decided he was not 50, as she'd first thought, but 32 or 3. In fact, if she'd asked him just then how old he was, he might have claimed, yes, he was 33, because the last 10 years had been trying and he could not remember anything trying while breathing over a washback with this pretty girl. Christ, he missed whiskey. Better than shots, she admitted. This is my second time through. The alcohol evaporated from his head. He recalled what he'd been sorting out and returned to 1.5 million paupers would never get a full vote in the EEC. Her twang was unmistakable. Bloody hell, she was American. Their group had moved on. The two treated themselves to one more inhalation of the wort, which roiled between them like whipped cream gone off, Guinness on a stove. Its surface churned and kneaded into itself, a little sickening, too brown. The American let down the wooden flat regretfully. We'll be missed. As her boots echoed down the washbacks, she passed a beefy man at the door.
Farrell, lad, a wee 5 minute tour and you're away.
Farrell. She remembered his name. Farrell waited, not wanting to walk with her. He'd no desire to violate the intimacy of their brief debauch with the disappointing whine of an American tourist. His head cleared. The last 2 minutes had encapsulated his life. The giddy rise and fall of it. Excessive indulgence to excessive discipline. And that was substances, though women the same. The clasping of hands over tables, the grappling in the back of taxis, the sweaty riot in the hotel, so quickly giving way to veiled excuses, impossible schedules, the dread cold quiet of a woman's phone unrung. Increasingly, he had an eye outside the abandon, the desperate swings. All he could see was pattern, and in this way nothing changed. It was harder and harder to perceive anything at all as actually happening. Estrin Lancaster was not the only American on this tour. The piping comments of just the couple she longed to escape had led her to bottling. The two were Northeasterners, though Estrin could no longer decode their accents into states. Abroad the better part of 10 years now, Estrin was growing stupid about her own country, and had to admit that while she ploughed her motto gutsy over the Middle East, she hadn't a clue what was going on in Pennsylvania. And that this, like any ignorance, was no claim to fame.